I thought that was interesting yesterday, Lord's Prayer. Father, thank you, Father God, for all that you've done, for being so wonderful and so marvelous, and being God, and allowing your Son, Jesus Christ, to come down to this mean old dark and cruel world and die for our sins. And dying for our sins, Father God, we won't have to die and go to hell. Forgiving us of our sins, and not only that, then rising from the grave and now sitting at your right hand. Father, we thank you for this Bible study and for the Vacation Bible School, and just putting it in the hearts of the people to have it for 2 weeks and to spend time with these children who, for a lot of them, they don't have vacations and they don't have places to go, and to show them the love of God for 2 weeks, and to provide them with some love and affection. Not only that, and then feed them, and then just to show them the love of God. We pray for our teachers, Father God, that you would give them long suffering and temperance and love in their hearts and patience. Thank you, Father God, for the classes, the adults that have come out, Father God, and have brought the children out and have come out to give their time and energy. We pray that they would be blessed in the future. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Paul, an apostle, verse number one. We see Paul. He's really, really doing what we ought to do. He's giving young Timothy some encouragement. You're going to see that all the way to verse number 5. You see Paul's encouraging Timothy. Some of us need encouragement. We on this Christian journey, sometimes, you know, as you look at a fire, sometimes you got to knock the ashes off the wood or off the coal just to get it hot again. I think he says in verse 4 or 5, he says, you need to stir up the gifts. Sometimes we need our gifts stirred up. Sometimes we need to be shook up. And sometimes God will do that to us. He'll shake us up. Not in ways that we think, but God's ways aren't always. And sometimes he'll shake us up. He'll stir us up. So we see that. We'll see that in Timothy here, 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And he's given this introduction, and it's a common one for Paul. But he's just letting Timothy know, okay, that the directions and the instructions that he's given him isn't coming from a mere man. It's coming from someone who's been called as an apostle. Not by himself, not called by himself, but called by the will of God. Okay? According to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. And when he says that, what he's saying is, you know, when God sent Jesus down onto this earth, and as I just prayed, the promise of life came from heaven. Okay? When Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave, it opened up the door for all the believers also to have faith in the resurrection of God, and have faith in the resurrection of the Son, that there was going to be a future life. So we didn't have to worry about dying and standing in a grave. That was common in that day. People would die and stay in the grave. But we're not going to stay in a grave. Okay? We're not going to stay in a grave. Our God, this God that we serve, is not in a grave. He's alive. Okay, and you can't say that about the other God, but we can say that about ours, because he's alive. You can't find him. They couldn't find him back then. They still can't find him. And they can dig and dig and dig. They won't find him in the ground. Okay, so he's talking to young Timothy, his favorite. Timothy was Paul's favorite disciple. Okay, and again, nowhere in the Bible does it say Timothy was an apostle. He was a disciple of Paul. Paul said it, that he was my beloved disciple. I mean, if you go to 1 Timothy, just turn over to 1 Timothy real quick. You see Paul's love for Timothy. Some of us, we have children outside of our own family. We may have a nephew. We may have had a grandson or a granddaughter that is special. Okay? Out of all the children we have, and I talk to Claire a lot about all her grandsons and granddaughters and great-granddaughters, you know, and she might not want to admit it at Christmas dinner, but deep in her heart, she got one that's her favorite. She's not going to even tell us, probably, you know. But she's probably got one that's really, really special to her. And I think all of us have that. But look what Paul says about Timothy. unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. Okay? And again, look at the love that he has. He says, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what? Every child of God, okay, we got all these kids here. We have our own children here. Okay, Christine has her children in Cleveland. This ought to be part of the prayer for our children. Evelina, when Zaire is gone, here's what we pray. Grace, mercy, and peace from God. That's what they need to survive. Okay? Grace, mercy, and peace from God. If you don't have to pray a whole long prayer, we don't get into this long prayer. Listen, you think about your son. You could be doing it. You could be stuck in traffic. Train stop. Think about your son. Wonder what he's doing now. Wonder what my grandson is doing. Wonder what my granddaughter's doing. Here's what we say. Grace, mercy, and peace from God. That's what they need. That's what they need. Okay? Paul's saying that about Timothy. He loves Timothy. Look at verse number 2 of 2 Timothy 1. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Same thing. Repeating it now. And remember, God has given Paul dying grace now. We're in 2 Timothy. Paul is sitting on the brink of the grave. He is on his way to a martyr's death. This is his last writing. This is the last writing of Paul. He is writing from death row. Imagine that. He's writing from death row. And he's trying to encourage Timothy. Follow in his footsteps. That sounds bizarre, don't it? Here you are on death row for doing absolutely nothing. And you are encouraging young Timothy to do the same thing. To be willing to put your life on the line for Jesus Christ. That's the call of all of us. Watch this. Verse number 3. The compassion that a favorite son, okay, you have your favorite son, you have your favorite daughter, whatever, your grandson, your kids. I watched Chester yesterday with his children, all his family's here. I know his heart was really, really heavy. He said, I thank God, verse number 3, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience. Why could Paul say that? Because he didn't waver. He never compromised. He preached the word of God to the point where folks didn't want to hear it. And they just said, we're going to shut him down. We're going to cut his head off. And Paul said, I preached the word of God with a pure conscience. How? Without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Now he's talking to Timothy. He's talking to Timothy. He's thinking about Timothy because he knows Timothy. The name means timid. Timothy was struggling with his call. He was struggling with the job that God had given him. And most ministers and pastors and evangelists, sometimes we'll struggle with the message because the world don't want to always hear the message. So sometimes it's a struggle to tell a loved one, you need to get yourself together. You need to get right with the Lord. Sometimes you feel like, you know, they're not listening. It can be very discouraging work. I always say it can be really, really thankless work to continue to preach the gospel to a dying world who seems so uninterested. Okay? And here's Timothy. Imagine watching Paul go through all these problems and see all the... Paul was beaten and shipwrecked and, stoned, left for dead. You know, he went through all that. Timothy probably somebody, he's saying, like, I don't know if I had that in me to do that. Okay? You know, we have great athletes, and a lot of times their children don't make it. I remember a story about Larry Bird, and Larry Bird said, my son will never be as good as I was. And they asked him why. He said, because I grew up playing basketball in the dirt. See, I grew up playing basketball in the dirt, and basketball courts was dirty and nasty. My son grew up with a basketball court in the basement of the mansion. You know, he said it was a little different. He's not willing to make the sacrifices that I have to make to be great. See, and a lot of times that happens with folks that will follow in our footsteps. We think about it today, especially in a group like us. We look at the civil rights movement. We look at what Martin Luther King and Medgar Evers and some of the great pioneers of the movement of the civil rights movement went through. And now we have our young African American children laugh at them. They think it's a game. People died. I say it all the time. I talk to some brothers and I watch them. I say, you know, you're married to a white woman and you live in Boardman. You know that people died so you could live like that? You know Emmett Till was slaughtered for basically looking at a white woman? Back in the civil rights days, if a white woman's dress was on the clothesline and you looked at it, they hang you. I know they would. Okay? And now you see the difference. We killing each other at an enormous rate. Black on black crime. Calling our women out of their names. Calling each other the N-word. Dad, get off on that tangent. Yes. Yeah. Yes, and sometimes it takes an outside party to come in. You know, we'll look around this church and you know, y'all know some of the struggles I had with Ray, but some of you guys may be able to chime right in. Walk up side up, put your hand on the shoulder, and he may follow. You know, one man, what? We talk about on Wednesday, one man plants, another man waters. God gets the glory. God gets the glory. And that's what I think Paul is getting into with Timothy. I'm hoping we can get through the wherefore. But you see Paul saying, I cease not to pray for you night and day. Night and day. Okay? Look at verse 4. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. And he's talking about the parting ways. When Paul was taken to prison, Timothy wasn't able to go. And men do have compassion. Men do shed tears. Jesus wept. Okay, so Paul and Timothy in their final meeting, before they were separated forever, there was great tears. Okay, so Paul's being mindful of that. He knew how hurt Timothy was. He's seen Timothy's pain. Verse number 5. He said, when I call to remembrance. I like this part here. When I call to remembrance, when I'm reminded of what? Your unfeigned faith. Your sincere faith. Timothy was sincere. Timothy knew that if he continued to do what Paul did, that he would suffer a martyr's death also. I have nothing in the Bible say to tell me how Timothy died. I would have to do some more research on it. But Timothy had an unwavering faith. That word unfaith means he was sincere. He was serious. He wasn't going to compromise. He wasn't going to back down. He preached it just like it was. Genuine. Genuine, that's a good word. Sincere. Sincere. Demas wasn't. Paul would talk about Demas in chapter 4, verse number 10 of the same book. He talks about Demas. He says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens, Galatian, Titus unto the nation. So Paul didn't say this about Demas. Demas didn't have that same stuff that Paul, that Timothy had. Then he goes to verse number 6. He says, wherefore? Wherefore? No. Okay. Let me go back to verse number 5, because if I miss all of verse number 5, I don't think we missed the whole theme of our vacation Bible school. It said, when I call to remembrance your unfaith, faith that is in thee. That is in thee. Okay? It was in him. It wasn't on the outside of him, wasn't hovering around him or above him. It was in him. Paul said it was in him. Okay? How did Paul know? Word of God said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it was in Timothy. How did it get there? I guess that's a good question. How did it get there? Somebody asked him questions. Was somebody preaching or teaching? How did it get there, Pastor? Paul says, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. Timothy was brought up in a family that reverenced God, that loved God, that treated God with reverence. It's a wealth. That word wealth means it was permanent. Okay? When the community thought about Lois, thought about God. This was a woman that feared the Lord. Okay? Now, we bring up our children that fear the Lord. Here's how I got there. Because it first dwelt in thy grandmother, Lois. Then from the grandmother, where did it go? To thy mother, Eunice. It went from the grandmother to the mother. See, we talk about generational curses, and we always talk about the bad end of them. Here's something good here. Started off with the mama, with the grandmother, then the mother, then the... See? Right down the line. See? Where's dad? Well, historians say that the dad was a Greek. Was a Greek. Didn't know the Lord. Didn't care about the things of God. Doesn't say he wasn't a part of Timothy's life, but spiritually, Paul puts him aside. You know? And I mean, you know, there's some dads that'll take their kids up to a Browns game or Indians game or a Steelers game and spend all day Sunday. Okay? Then won't take them to church. See? I'll rap out YSU on some days, and I see all the fathers taking their children out to the ball game, but we got to get some word in them too. Okay? We got to get the fear of God in them too. It's always good to see fathers in church with their sons. That is a great picture. That's a great picture. Yes, ma'am. Ain't that something? And he started taking you. Amen. Yeah. Vernon told me that yesterday. Vernon said he told Bamba, he said, "You listen, I ain't doing nothing else for you, so you come to church." Guess where she was at yesterday? In church. In church. Okay. So I don't know how Vernon said it, but she sounds like she understood it, you know. But we have to get like that. She got the message. Okay. Okay? See? And again, we say, and look at Paul say, it first dwelled in Lois, and then in Eunice, and Paul had a relationship with them too, so he had to know them. Okay? He had to know them. Watch. And he said, "I am persuaded." That's one of Pauline word. "I am persuaded." That word means I am totally convinced. Okay? That don't mean he's in the process of being persuaded. That means I am persuaded, what, Paul? That in thee also. The word of God is in thee also. Okay? Now he gets to the wherefore part. He gets to the wherefore part. He said, "Wherefore? Because you have all that." Remember we talked about the Lord's Prayer yesterday. You know, the first part of the prayer was giving God his due, his reverence. Okay? "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom." You know, we give God his first. Okay? "Our Father who art in heaven." Okay? Now, Paul's doing the same thing. He's saying now, because of what has happened in verses 1 through 5. Did you see a wherefore? You want to ask what that wherefore is there for? It's there because of what Paul has said in the first 5 verses. "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God." It's in you, Timothy. And it's in all of us. Sometimes we just need to stir it up. See, sometimes the world weigh down on us, situations, issues of life. We all have that. We all have that. And say, every once in a while, we need them gifts stirred up. Okay? We need to get them gifts stirred up. Most of us, when we put popcorn in the microwave, you know, and it pop all up, we just don't open it. We shake it up a little bit. Why? So we want to make sure, that butter get on every kernel. Okay? Every once in a while, and even in relationships, every once in a while, you got to stir them up. Okay? And you know, some people use a getaway. You know, a little getaway, whatever. You know, whatever you need to do. Stir up your love for one another. Because sometimes it can get a little... Yeah. Yeah. It can sink. Yeah. You got to shake it up. That's right. Yeah. Stir it up. Get a good pot of chili. You want to stir it up. So you want, that's right. You want to get it all involved. Every once in a while, you got to stir the church. God will stir the church up. See, y'all think God will stir the church up. Take somebody out of here suddenly. And everybody go, "Whoa. Okay, that's what he did with Ananias and Sapphira. Okay, they come in there lying about how much they was given, and they was given for the wrong reason, and lying to the Holy Ghost. And folks be telling me we want to go back to the apostolic days. I don't know. I don't know. You better be careful with that wish, because some stuff, the Holy Ghost was doing some stuff back then. Okay, but back to verse 6. Wherefore I put in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now, Paul's not saying that when he put his hands on Timothy that power went into him. He's saying his putting on his hands was just confirmation what was already in him. Okay? Wasn't no power transfer from Paul to Timothy because he already said it was in him. Okay? He's saying, me put my hands on you. It's confirming, because I'm God's man, that you are God's man. That you are God's man. Look at verse 7. For God hath, come on now. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. He hasn't. He hasn't. Is there anything worse than a fearful Christian? You know, we can't be fearful. Because we know Acts 1 and 8, I like to read it because it just reads real well. Some of you know it already. But ye shall receive what? Power. Power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witness to me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And remember, those in that day, those were cities that rejected Christianity. And Paul, and the writer of Paul, the writer of Acts, is saying that you're going to receive the power to witness in the hardest places. You're going to receive the power of God to stand for God in a godless world. We need it right now. We need it right now. We need to say some stuff ain't right. Some stuff ain't right. I see Christians backing off of stuff. It just ain't right. I don't care how you cut it. It just ain't right. Two men ain't supposed to be getting married. It just ain't right. It just ain't right. It just ain't right. Whether we got friends, that are homosexual or lesbian, whatever. Whether we got, it still ain't. Don't make it right. Because we got friends that do it. Because I got nieces and nephews that do it. Don't make it right. Okay. It is what it is. So now we're supposed to go out and beat them up and no, love them. I love my nieces and nephews. You know what? But it ain't right. They know I know it ain't right. And they know I'm going to tell them. So they're not going to ask me to marry them. They ain't going to go that far. They ain't going to ask me what I think of it, because they know what I think of it. But you know what? Still love them. Go to a funeral somewhere, see them, give them a hug. Love you. Love you in the Lord. Okay? And I want to keep that door open. Because there, you never know. And one day they may call me up and say, you know what? I need you to pray for me. I've left that lifestyle and it is tugging at me, and I need the power of God. We have to be careful how we deal with sinful folk. Because guess what? It's only by the grace of God that me and Nate ain't sitting over there and said, ain't Christine up here. See, some of y'all in here think it's because y'all strong enough that y'all ain't attracted to another person of the same sex. Excuse me. That's a lie. Okay? That's right. That's right. That's why you need the power of God in your life. Because there's some brothers, I give y'all my little prison stories. I got three guys working prisons in here now, and them brothers come in there strong as can be, and somebody can talk you out of your manhood. Most of them ain't getting beat out of it, Claire. most of them getting talked out of it. Okay? Now listen, I heard this, I'm going to share this with you. Now, a brother told me this. He said, if a man can talk another man into a sexual relationship, woman ain't got a chance with that brother. A woman ain't got a chance with him. That makes sense, Paula? If a man can walk up to a man who ain't thinking about being in a homosexual relationship, talk that man, straight man, all his life out of his straightness, a woman ain't got a chance with him. And if he's sitting in a pulpit preaching, he going to take everything from the church. did that make sense, Evelyn? That makes sense to you? Okay, I don't even know. Y'all got me down that rabbit trail. Listen, I'm going to get off that rabbit trail. That's right. Right. But Rhonda's asking the question because I have a tape of this and it'll be online. But she's asking a question that Christians may have to wait before they go out and do evangelism or ministry. But a Christian, you can't be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? So the moment that God saves you, you receive the Holy Ghost. So you got all the power you ever gonna need. Okay. The children of God. That's right. Yeah. Now. Mm-hmm. Wait. Yeah. Yeah. Obedience was in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You want to make sure you have it before you step out. Okay. That's a good question. Hold that thought. We'll look through some research on that one. I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But you know what? And that's a good question. Here, let me get this answer. You may have it, but you still have to have discernment. Okay? You may be operating in an area where you're not going to be effective with all the power in the world. Okay? So you have to make sure that you're in the Spirit. That's why the Word of God says in Galatians 6:1, if a brother is in a fault, you that are what? Spiritual. Restore. So everybody's not going to be able to do a certain type of ministry. Everybody's done. Okay? That's why you have a whole list of gifts. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Oh, man. Okay. Rhonda's always got a great question. No, that's all right. That's all right. Okay. Listen. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So Rhonda, dig into that, those three principles right there. God given us not the spirit of fear, but power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind might just be, okay, it's time for me to retreat. Okay? You know, I sat there and watched some of them golfers yesterday. Sometimes you just got to take a bogey. You just can't make birdie on every hole. Sometimes, you know what, I'm in trouble. I hit this bunker. I'm in a deep rough. I just need to get it back in play. Okay, you just can't go for the flag every time. And I think sometimes we do. As Christians, we just want to go for the flag all the time. Okay? You see them, you go to a football game, it's 3rd and 3, they're on the 20-yard line, and they decide to go for a field goal, and the crowd is screaming, booing, go for the first down. Well, the coach, no. We're going to take the 3 points. Okay? Sometimes you just got to take 3. You just ain't going to score all the time. Sometimes you just got to punt 4 inches, and you're on the 50-yard line. Instead of going for it, you coach a punt, the fans start booing. Okay? That's right. And then when the punter pinned the other team down on the 1-yard line, they cheering. You know? And then when the other team go three and out or throw an interception and your team go in and score, see, that's a, it's a still a strategy in ministry. Okay? We just can't just put the, I mean, even when we ride in the city, we on the freeway, we going 70. Is the speed limit 70? I don't want to be telling y'all that we... Okay. Okay. But we going 65. But when you coming up Belmont or Market Street or 224, you ain't... Sometimes you just can't go to speed limit, even though you live in Bourbon. You going to 224 Christmas time, speed limit 40. Guess where you going? 1510. See? See, when I was teaching my crazy daughter how to drive, I'm sitting here, I'm like, you flying up Belmont. Well, speed limit 35. I say, it's 430. Speed limit ain't 35 at 430. Okay, because everything letting out. So we have to do the same thing. We have power, but, you know, what did Jesus say about Moses? He was the meekest man that ever lived. And what is meekness? Power, what? Under control. Okay? Power out of control is Katrina. Power under control is everybody down in Louisiana enjoying the water. Okay? Everybody fishing, lobster fests, all that. But power out of control is a hurricane in Kansas blowing everything around. Power under control is when that air is being used to feed the crops and circulate air, whatever, however they use it. And we have to be like that. We don't want to be out of control. You know, fire under control. You got your ribs on the griddle. And you turning them. Fire out of control. House on fire. Okay. You understand what I'm saying, Deacon? We want to be under control. We don't want to be fires out of control. Okay. And the fire out of control is, we can't do here at Christian Bible Baptist what T.D. Jakes is doing in Dallas, Texas. Okay? We can't. I can't drive like he's driving. Okay? He got 25,000 members. Okay? And if they all give it a dollar piece, he's making some dough. I'm saying, if they all give him a dollar piece and they have five services a day, he doing pretty good. Okay? So, yeah. Okay? All right. Let's see if we can round this off. Let's see if we can round this off. Where we at, Christine? Okay. Now at verse number 7, that's good. That's good. Okay. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. He's giving Timothy encouragement now. Okay? Don't back off preaching gospel, preach it. It's going to cost you something. All who live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. He's going to say in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Okay? But he said, be therefore not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. What is the testimony of our Lord? That Jesus died for our sins and rose from the grave. That's the testimony of our Lord. Okay? Nor of me, his prisoner. Now, Paul said, I'm not a prisoner of Rome in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1. He said, I am the prisoner of the Lord. Paul wasn't saying I'm a prisoner of Rome. He said Rome wasn't killing me. He said God already had told me. Remember in Paul in Acts chapter 9 when Paul knew from day one. Ananias was told by Jesus that he's going to suffer great things for me. So Paul wasn't, this ain't catching him by off guard. Shouldn't catch none of you guys off guard. If you're going to live for Christ, you're going to suffer. If you're going to call yourself a Christian in the dying world, you're going to suffer. You don't want to suffer, get out of the game. Get out of the business. This is suffering business. Okay? This ain't happy business. This ain't happy work. This suffering work. Listen, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me as a prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Be a partaker of the afflictions. It's like an invitation. Partner up. Giving Timothy an invitation to suffer. How about that? How many people did come to that party? Had that party, Rhonda. Send out invitations. And we getting ready to suffer tonight. We having a suffering party. You know, we getting ready to do some sackcloth and ashes and, you know. How many people going to show up? Not many. Do it with joy. Do it with joy. Do it with joy. And suffer a little bit. Try to get them kids here. Ronnie, you're going to suffer a little bit. You're going to get frustrated. Some of them ain't going to show up. You might feel like you ain't got room for them all. You know?
You know, whenever you do that, the ones who can, or he'll make
that's right.
The whole new group right here.
That's right. But the whole new group will go out and tell them, and it'll get better. Listen. Verse number 9. This is the beauty of it. And I probably could close right here. In verse number 9. Remember, Paul's just encouraging Timothy. Then he says in verse 9, who hath saved us? I like that. He said, who hath saved us? Okay? Somebody said, hey, you know, don't worry, don't be ashamed. You can die now, but you're saved. You're going to heaven. It ain't going to matter. Or you can live without God for 50 more years and die and go to hell. So what? Deacon Napier, you understand what Paul's saying here? Who have saved us and called us with a holy calling. Satan didn't call us with a holy calling. When we was out in the streets and running and chasing, doing what we was doing, that was an evil call. It was unholy. Now, we had a good time. Now, don't sit here and listen. The pleasure of sin lasts for a season. Okay? There ain't nothing worse than seeing a boxer or a football player, you know, trying to make the team when his season is up. And you see an old boxer get in the ring and get knocked out in the first round because, you guess what? Been in the game too long. Your season is up.
You can see an old player.
Old player. Okay? Now, I don't think Claire's talking about an old football player. She's talking about an old player walking up to one of them young girls with the hat cocked to the side, got the platform shoes on. It's over with. It's over with. It's a sad sight. The one old man said, you know, I don't mess with these young girls. I don't want them telling me the truth. I give money so they tell me a lie. I think Deacon Oliver told me that. I don't want them to tell me the truth. I don't want the truth. Listen. Who have saved us? I like that. Who have saved us and called us. When we talk about call, some of y'all just been around. You know, when you call somebody, they're away from you. So I don't have to call y'all right here. But if I wanted to call somebody that's in another room, I got to call them. See, we was in another room. Timothy and Paul was doing some different things. And God called them. How did he call? With a holy calling. Not according to our works. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not by works. You didn't earn your salvation. You didn't work for it. You didn't do nothing to deserve it. God just called you and gave you the ears to hear. And you came. Okay? It wasn't because you was doing such a good work. God said, oh, look at Christine. She's doing such a wonderful work. I'm going to call her. No. He didn't call you when you were doing a good work. But he called you in your mess. I like that. He called you in your mess. And that's when we call our children. When they sit there doing all right, you ain't on mess with them. At least, you know, let them sleep. You don't wake them up. Nobody wake up 3-year-olds. But if they over by the oven or doing something crazy, then you wake them. Then you call them. You know, you holler at them. You know? Who have called us and with a holy call, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Before the world began, we got called according to his purpose. So if God called you, he called you for a purpose. He called you for a purpose. And I thank God for all you that's here tonight and have heard the message of God. And if you've been called, and you may be here, and you may not even be thinking about it, but God has called you. Okay? God has called you. Teddy's at the back door doing sign languages that I don't understand. I understand. I know she's doing all kind of gyrations back there. I'm fine. Listen, God has called us for a purpose, and we have to find our purpose. And I think that's one of the questions Rhonda was just asked. Find a purpose. See, there's certain things I can't do. Y'all don't want to hear me sing. Ain't called me to sing. I wish I could too. I wish I could sing. Precious Lord, take my